understand it. Take, for example, the baptism of the Israelites in the Red Sea. That was a foreshadowing or a type of our baptism. But I can give many areas where there are a lot of differences. The Ark of Noah is a type of the church. There too I can give many examples that if you stretch that, the Ark being the type, the church being the antitype. For example, the church does not have any interest in saving animals. I just throw one, you know. And Noah had to save the animal. And there are many other. I could probably have spent a whole session just showing some different. So anyway, so I just want. Why it's important that be kept in mind is that whenever we come upon types in the Bible, representation, symbol, which point to something else, we must make sure we get out of it only what inspiration or what heaven intended for us to get. And we must also watch out for people. We might be teaching somebody and take them to Corinthians and show that the Israelites were baptized in the cloud and in the sea, and that was pointing to our baptism. That person wanting to overthrow baptism may come up with some areas where there are some differences. And we must be mindful to explain that types only go so far. Yes, Brother Smith, go on, please.
Yes, so with that explanation this morning about the 2.5 tribes that did cross over, I was going to ask, so is there anything to typify the fact that 40,000 men from those 2.5 tribes went across and then they came back? That's not anything to look on, as you have said,
not
but just to,
because the meat in types is usually that which God initiates. That's one of the central point in types. So when it comes down to the human factor, what as a result of Satan initiative, person's selfishness, some of those are carried, but those are the areas we have to be careful. Because, like you said there, and that is a good point you brought up, 2.5 tribes wanted to settle over the other side of Jordan, not realizing that God's intent was for the settlement to be done trans-Jordan, after the cross Jordan. What does that represent? Of course, the 2.5 tribe, after they came, they live up to their commitment, went back to their sheep land. In fact, while I'm at it, in the lesson coming up Sunday morning, I'm almost sure it will be the final lesson. And the series for now, because for many years ago, I wanted to teach a series of lessons on traveling from Egypt to Canaan, and that would not be just four lessons, it would be many lessons traveling from Egypt to Canaan. This series, the four lessons, was really about death and why the Israelites came in was the fact that Jordan typifies death for us. It typifies that point of transition that for the Christian is death. But the 2.5 tribe, that does not necessarily have any point in Christianity to illustrate other than the central point of what material things can do to us. In fact, that is the key there. That is the lesson there. That worldly things, material things, money, secular success, we need to watch how they deprive our growth, our development, and how we divert so much effort to the physical, material things of life, and in comparison, the very little we give to Christianity, and how material things determine so much of our decision. The same thing that happened to Reuben, Gad, the tribe of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, is the same thing happening to Christians in the large church, not just today, ever since. And we need to watch that. That it's 2.5 tribes. That, as far as I can see, may not have any significance. What is more significant, Brother Smith, in respect to the quantity? What is more important in respect to the quantity is the fact that 603,000 that left Egypt, of that original men from, I think, 20 or 22 up, only two of that original reached the promised land. That might be significant, because Jesus Christ said, many are, but few are chosen. You see. So that is quite telling. You see, the road that is broad, many walk on that road. The road that is narrow, few walk on it. So, but the 2.5 tribe, as I said, I find it interesting, because, but coming back to this point where I'm just checking up some time here. 1,000. and that was about 1,300. Brother Simit, what we're going to notice too, some 200 years or so after that incident, where the sheep, where the blessing of Reuben, God, and their tribe of Manasseh or whatever, 200 years after, we are going to notice that their blessing was still a curse. I have a sermon titled that, Blessing as Curse and Curse as Blessing. Where 200 years after, we are going to see where as a result of their sheep or cattle, they were not active participants in the battle that Israel was fighting. Not 50 years after, not 60, 200 years or about after that. So the material things, secular success, etc., when we focus on it, and when church, Christ, Christianity become a hobby, a part-time thing, when we don't have anything better, when it becomes that, we are in trouble and a lot of times do not know it. You see, but I cannot overemphasize the lesson in Reuben and Gad and the half tribe there, the lesson in how their success in sheep and our cattle rearing, their success create a problem. In fact, that was a blessing, but their blessing becomes a curse. One of the time, what I may do is preach a lesson and follow Reuben, Gad, and the half tribe right to the book of Chronicles and show where, in so many cases, inspiration, inspired writer, twin them together in many unfortunate things that happen, and some of the things, successful things, but how they were always put together. Reuben and Gad and the half tribe. You see, hundreds of years after, their blessings become a curse, just like when the Israelites left Egypt. And the very goal and etc. that they were told to borrow or beg and carry with them, well, that was meant to be a blessing, but it becomes a curse. Because that was what Aaron used to make the idol. And you see, again, one of the things as I've said, probably next week, in the final part of that lesson, some of these things will come up. Brother Simit, any more? Okay. Was I of any help, Brother Simit? You can say no, you was not. Okay. Yes. Brother Gilbert.
Yes, just clarifying again. Where the scripture says, what was whatever was written before time was written for our learning. So what we are saying then is that we can learn from the types.
Yes.
But in addition to the types, just clarifying that we also have lessons.
Yes.
That might not necessarily be a type that we can use from the Old Testament scriptures.
Yes.
And as time goes on with us, we may learn other lessons that we were not seeing in our current time.
That's true. In almost any types, I bring back the fact on the New Testament, we are not just the one pointing out that Noah and his preaching from the New Testament standpoint is a type, represent something, point to the New Testament. The salvation of the then antediluvian world point to our salvation. Even now, baptism, let us find a passage in, is it 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20? When you find it, give me the exact verse.
With some time we're disobedient, when once the long suffering.
Okay. You start at what verse?
Verse 20.
Could you go up to about either 18 or 19? Let me hear.
For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison.
Christ went and preached to the spirit in prison. We're not going to take or go in that, but while passing, you know, Jesus Christ, the period, between Christ's death and resurrection, Jesus Christ went to Hades. Between Jesus' death and resurrection, his soul, his spirit went to Hades, and Jesus ministered. I like to give brata. I'm very kind, as I've often said. And there might be young members in the church and our visitors who, I throw this out that in case there are any questions, after we dismiss, you can come to me. Between his death and his resurrection, he went to Hades and he went and ministered. The passage the brother is reading here is only one of the passages. There is another passage right there in Peter that indicates the same thing. So, and he went in the spirit. What he did, brother? What he did?
Preached unto the spirits in prison.
That's right. To whom did he preach?
The spirits in
spirit.
Prison.
That is the soul of men and women who died not knowing anything about God's plan of salvation. Jesus Christ went and enlightened them. That's how much God wants men to be saved. In fact, if I get to the lesson that I have planned for tonight, that's the whole point. Okay, now. Read on.
With some time we're disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah.
Notice, inspiration here pinpoints the particular set of people that are under consideration. Who are the people? The people who lived during the time of who? Noah. And you may want to ask, why those people? I could give you many reasons, but since we come to this passage for something else. Read on.
While the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls were saved by water.
Okay. I want you to notice this. They were saved by water. Huh? That's important. The brothers and sisters, you must not underestimate the amount of disregard for God's word that exists out there in the man-made churches. And there are thousands upon thousands of sincere men and women who are part of these denominations. And when it comes to the subject of baptism, very few subjects have experienced as much butchering. Very few subjects. Here the Bible tells us that the people in the time of Noah were saved by what?
By water.
But I thought it was God who saved them. Yes. But God used what? Water. That was an instrument in God's power. God limited himself to water. And when God limits himself to anything, you don't cry down because you are only crying down God. The brazen serpent that healed the Israelites when they looked on it, God had limited himself to that brazen serpent. Huh? Noah's ark, whereby only those in that particular ark were saved. Brother Mitchell, were there other instrument or other vessel there that could swim on water? I have no doubt that there were. That's right. Men have always find ways to deal with water. Were those other vessels that could stay on water survive the flood? No. The only one that survived the flood was the one built by God's command. Wait, no, I see him here with the church. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ built one true church and that he's coming back for one. Christ is not coming back for multiplicity of denominations. They were not built by him. And he has already told us, any plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Every time I remind you that the passage there in Matthew is not talking about botanical plants. It's talking about religious institutions. So I always point out to men and women that they should find out who is the founder of their denomination. Because if it was founded by man, it is marked for destruction. They were saved by water. Don't cry down water. God use it. And everybody understand? Yes, somebody say, it is God who saved the people in the time of Noah. You are correct. But God used water to save them. And you better don't minimize the importance of that water. When you minimize the importance of the water, you are minimizing God. Truly. because God chose to use water. Read on.
The like figure whereunto even baptism doth.
What the word like figure means? In the same way. In the same way God saved them by what? Water. The same way God is using water to save us. There are type of falsehood out there about baptism. There are a lot of men and women out there who got baptized as an outward show of an inner grace. When you meet up on people like that, tell them that they have not yet been baptized. You know why? They went in the water for a wrong purpose. Not the purpose that God has attached to it. When we get baptized, we must baptize for the reason God stated. Not for the reason made by our denomination. Yes, 8 souls were saved by water in the like figure. That is, that was a type. Huh? It was a figure pointing to New Testament baptism. Or the water of baptism. In the like figure.
Whereunto even baptism doth also now save us.
Isn't that plain? I wonder if that language could be plainer than that. In the like figure, mean in the same way, the baptism, the water that saved Noah's ark, is the same way God is using water to save the saved today. In the same way water was used then, God is using water now. The water then was symbolic, pointing to water baptism in Christ. But do you know, if we stretch that too much, we run into problem. You understand? There are a lot of problems. If you stretch the water under the antediluvian world of Noah's time too much as a figure, if you try to get too much out of it, you get nothing. What God wants us to understand, as you know, Brother Gilbert, is the fact that, well, among the things, is the fact that whenever God throws anything as a type, that type points to something down the future. In the case of the water in Noah's time, the Almighty God might not be using the water in the very same detail, but he's going to use what? Water. For example, God is not using water to save men and women today in a boat. Huh? The water used today, like then, becomes a point of transition. The water become a point of change. That's the way it was used then. The water in Noah's time, here is Noah's boat. Here is the water. The word that was destroyed by the flood represent the sinful world. In a symbolic way, it's like the flood that kill off those unbeliever, those rebellious people. The water, as if it were, transfer Noah and his family from a sinful world to a clean, if I may conveniently use the word, sanctified world. But it transferred them from one world to another world. The old sinful men and women were destroyed. All of them were killed. And the Almighty God landed Noah, preserved them in the boat, one boat, and landed them into a cleansed world. Well, is God using water in similar way today? Yes. I said similar. Not in the exact acts, but similar. Water is that which, well, let me back up. When are we cleansed from our sin? Anybody? When we are baptized. Not a minute before, not a minute after. I need to repeat that. No man or woman ever get forgiveness. It matters not how religious that person is. It matters not how much that person go to church. It matters not how kind and good. It matters not whether that person worship God every day. The person's sin is still held against him, against her, until that person believes, repent, confess Christ, and is baptized. It is at baptism that the person is cleansed, forgiven, become a child of God. Not before. And the Bible tells us. Do you know the Bible tells us at what time we are made free from sin? Huh? Romans chapter 6. Is it verse 17 and 18? Let us hear it.
But God be thanked.
God be thanked.
That ye were the servants of sin.
The word servant there, what you mean? Slave. Wait. When we do not get our sins forgiven, God sees us as slave to sin. It's because we are slave to sin why we remain in it. So here the inspired Paul, that once you were
the servant of sin.
Remember the word translated servant there is bond servant, a slave. Once you were the slave
of sin.
Of sin.
But ye have obeyed from the heart.
Notice when the transition going to be made. You have
obeyed from the heart.
You have obeyed from the heart.
That form of doctrine. Which
may I? Watch here. The form, remember, if not all of you, most of you should remember what form is here. The word translated form. I have always used these beans to illustrate. For them to come out like this, these beans, you have to use board and make a form or a mold. Board, that's one. And then ready mix, come and pour the concrete in it. And when the concrete dries, it comes out resembling the form, resembling the mold. That's how they come like that. The board, the form was made exactly like that. And the concrete pouring it. In fact, that last column right over Brother Bean's head, because when ready mix come to pour it, we didn't have much support. The steel band them around the beam, and it bust open, and thousands of dollars of concrete just you know. Just went down, and things stood still for quite a few months after that, when we had to make arrangement to get the proper thing. If we had Brother Pierce with us then, he would have advised us, but in the come a Christian too late. Anyway, okay, the farm. So everybody understand what a farm is? Okay, so what is the form that they obey? The form is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let's get a little more on that. That's the form. Look with me from verse 3 to verse 4, or 5.
Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death?
Mark here. Were baptized into?
His death.
Christ's death. When you get baptized, you get into Christ's death. Read on.
Therefore, we are buried with him.
Wait. Notice the solidarity. Notice word like with. Not only do you get in Christ's death in baptism, therefore we are buried with him. It's weird, you know, the Bible is teaching you that the sinner, in order to get his or her sins forgiven, must become one with Jesus Christ. There must be a solidarity between the penitent believer and Christ. The penitent believer must unite with Jesus Christ in Jesus' redeeming act. That is Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. So here we have already that you get in Christ's death when you're baptized. And you are buried with Christ. Is that there? You are buried with?
With him. By baptism.
By what?
Baptism.
Read on.
Into death.
Uh-huh.
That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life.
So here, we have to get in Christ then. We have to be buried with him. We have to be raised up like he was raised up. Step now back to verse 17.
But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that for...
You have obeyed from the heart. May I? There are a lot of false teaching out there tell you, once you believe you are saved. But the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is the author of eternal salvation. To whom? To them that obey him.
Amen.
And here the Bible is telling you how part of that obedience is carried out. It has to do with obeying him in baptism. You have obeyed from the heart. That what?
That form of doctrine.
What is the form of doctrine? It's death, burial, and resurrection. You pour yourself in that. You believe that. You become one with Christ in that. So when you obey that form of doctrine, read on. Which was delivered you.
Being then made free from
sin. Here is it. Being
then made.
Then, what happened then?
Free from sin.
Then when? When you obey the form of doctrine. That's the point at which you were made free from sin. The Bible is here specifically pinpointing the point at which we are cleansed, forgiven, made free from sin. Then, when you obey the form. Being then made free from sin, we become
servants of righteousness.
And you cannot become servant of righteousness before you are made free from sin. Selvin, please add more, Selvin, to our expand. You see, what I was doing, Brother Gilbert, is use the opportunity of your questions to show the extent to which symbol, pattern, type, are used and areas that we may not carry and areas that it cover. And you are right when you point out that sometimes we may find right in Scripture some areas that a type cover that we have never seen or never thought of before. You see. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Okay.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Two things, Pastor.
Okay.
Say a person on their sick bed.
Yeah.
Unsafe person. And a Christian get the opportunity to share with them the message of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And they accept it and believe.
Mm-hmm.
And they die before they get the opportunity to baptize.
Okay.
Do you think that person will make it into heaven and safe? And also, the gentleman on the cross beside Jesus, he didn't get the opportunity to baptize either.
Good point.
And Christ said that he will be with him in paradise because he just believed in Christ.
Point one, the sick person. Point two, the thief on the cross. Thank you for the question. Good question, sir. You know, we're going to deal with the first one first. In fact, we're going to let Jesus Christ answer that almost specifically, almost like he knew that we would be asking that question. We turn to passage of Matthew 25, the virgin. Find it for me, somebody.
Starting at verse 1.
Just start where Christ start the lesson about the five wise bridesmaid and the five foolish bridesmaids, because that's exactly what they were, bridesmaid.
Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom.
Mm-hmm.
And 5 of them were wise,
uh-huh,
and 5 were foolish.
Okay, remember, we are dealing with question number 1. Okay, 5 were wise, 5 were foolish.
They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them.
Mm-hmm.
But the wise took oil in their vessels,
mm-hmm,
with their lamps.
Mm-hmm.
While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight...
May I? In those days, a wedding scene would involve the bridesmaid waiting to see the approaching groom and indicate to the bride that the groom is coming. One of the things that was important was readiness. Readiness. Preparedness. That is coming out in the lesson, and you must not miss it. The part you have just stopped reading, read it over again. Just that little part. While the bridegroom
tarried. They all slumbered and slept.
All of them slumber and slept. The way the bridegroom still long. So they fell asleep. Read.
And at midnight there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh.
The bridegroom is on his way.
Go ye out to meet him.
That was the duty of the bridesmaid here. Go ye out to meet him.
Then all those virgins arose.
All of them. Wait, you notice that readiness and preparedness was imperative. Eh? You must not miss that. Because that is the exact point Jesus Christ is teaching here. Read on.
And trimmed their lamps.
All of them got up. The 10 of them. The 5 foolish. The 5 wise, and all of them trimmed their lamp.
And the
fool. Wait, brother. We no town people don't know nothing about trimming lamp. But we country people know you. You have to get the lamp ready. You have to make sure kerosene oil is in the lamp and all of that. When you light it, that the wick is wet, soaked with kerosene oil. And they trimmed their lamp. Read.
And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out.
Wait. Give us of your oil. In other words, our lamp can't get lit. The oil burn out. That's why they were foolish. They should have had what? Oil in their lamp and probably had some spare oil. Knowing the situation that they were facing, they would be waiting until the groom comes. They should be ready and prepared. Read.
But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you,
mm-hmm,
but go ye rather to them that sell, and buy of yourselves, for yourselves.
Wait. What is coming up now is important. That's going to answer the goodly gentleman's question. And remember, we are hearing from the mouth of Jesus Christ himself. The advice given by the wise, go and buy purchased oil. What we have is not enough for us and you. So they went to buy.
And they went.
Wait, brother, take time. They took step to prepare. This must be observed, you know. They took step to get ready. It's not that when they realize that they don't have any oil, them just say, well, look here, it's too. No, they took step to get ready. Read on.
And while they went to buy.
While they went to buy.
The bridegroom came.
While they were in the process of getting ready,
the bridegroom came.
Read.
And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage.
Read.
And the door was shut. Afterward,
stop there. The door was shut. And those who were in the process of getting ready. So, goodly gentleman, the sick person and his or her sick bed, one of the things that there is no doubt Jesus Christ going to look on, have that person had any opportunity before to obey Christ? Any opportunity. Because what you have in life is we keep putting off Jesus Christ until time when we think it's convenient for us. And it is on this basis Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 7:21, not everyone that saith, but he that does his will. So here we have, from Jesus' mouth, the five foolish virgins represent men and women who waited too late and who at the 11th hour took steps to get ready. That must always be remembered. The five foolish virgins were in the process of getting ready. That's the man or woman who is on his way to getting baptized. Are we there? This is said by Jesus. Wait, there's something else in the verse or two below there. Let me hear someone.
Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us.
Mm-hmm.
But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not.
Read.
Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh.
The word watch is saying be ready. Because death can come at any time. Judgment can come at any time. So, as I've said, sir, for me, there is no better example. Of course, this was Matthew 25, no? That's right. Important in the lesson is that they took steps to prepare. They took steps. They were in the process of getting ready. It's like they were on the way to the river, the baptismal pool, when they got into an accident. And we're going to say, but will not God save them? Well, just read this. And if Jesus Christ knows who will deceive and who will not, then we better see the parable for what it is. Okay? Very important. And also, say Matthew 25, also Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, I think. Not everyone that say, Lord, Lord, shall be saved. Just calling upon God at the last moment in our sick bed will not do it. Amen. You know why? God has a will for us to obey before he deals with our sin. And may I? I want you all to get this. The Almighty God will not save us on the opportunity, the one opportunity that was taken away from us. He will condemn us on the dozens of opportunities that we throw away. Always remember that. From what the Bible teaches, and from what this parable teaches, we will not be saved on the basis of one opportunity that was taken away from us by God. Is it through death, sickness, or whatever? We will not be saved on that opportunity that God takes away. We will be condemned on the dozens of chance we have to obey but didn't. And that's what this parable teaches. Those five foolish bridesmaid virgins had all the time in the world to go and get their oil. They waited until it was too late. That's what this lesson is about from the mouth of Jesus Christ. Okay? So that's one. Before. Do you understand Matthew? Okay. And what it is teaching, we remind everyone here tonight, the door was shut when they took steps to prepare themselves or to get ready. Yeah. They actually were on their way to getting the oil, which means they were, it's like you're saying, they were on their way to getting baptized. And remember, the lesson is taught by the Master Christ, who will be doing the saving and the condemning. And he's teaching us there that in the same way, the door was shut on the five foolish virgins, even though they have taken steps to get ready, the same will be done with men and women who wait too late to give their life to Christ. Okay, so that is one. Can we now deal with the thief on the cross? We encourage every one of you, members and visitors, to remember the Almighty God has always had a plan that he used to deal with man's sin. God is not a disorganized, haphazard God. When men just sin, Adam and Eve, Cain, Abel, the Almighty God instituted animal sacrifice, the altar. God has always had a way to deal with sin. After the patriarchal age, God instituted for Israel the law system. Huh? And that means God chose one nation. And this is important. Anybody who wants to be in right relationship with God had to become a part of the Israelite nation. That was called proselyte. The Almighty God had specific ways in which sin was dealt with under that system. But watch here now. The thief on the cross was dealt with this point in God's religious dealing with man. Right at the cross. Notice the law system was on its way out at this point. When, remember, we are told in Colossians that Jesus Christ nailed the law to the cross. So when Christ was on the cross, the law was on its way out. The thief on the cross could not be forgiven on the basis of the Old Testament system because it was on its way out. The thief on the cross could not be dealt with his sin on the basis of the New Testament gospel that teaches that one must be taught, believe, repent, confess faith in Christ and be baptized. That's what the gospel teaches. That is this side of the cross. Remember, this side of the cross after Christ died. The thief on the cross was this side of the cross, right when Jesus Christ. So he could not, his sins could not be dealt with on the basis of the Old Testament system. Normally, a person would be sent to the priest and the priest tell him what to do to be forgiven. Our animal sacrifice offered. That was on its way out. Christ was at the cross. This system was not yet initiated. Let me illustrate before I give one or two passages. Let's say I am a wealthy man. Are we all there? While I am alive and people in need, they know that I'm kind. While I'm alive, they can come and beg help. Book for their school children, school fee, lunch money. And as they come, I can help them. It's my money. I do what? So I help people. But watch here now. I die. And three of the people that I usually help come to my executor and said, for 3-4 years, Mr. Mitchell supply us with lunch money for the children and buy their school book and help with their school fee. You know, he has been doing this and we are in need now. What the executor going to say? The executor going to point out, ma'am, we cannot be of help to you because Mr. Mitchell leave a will. And as executor, that's what we have to go by. While Jesus Christ was still alive, Jesus Christ could deal with sin any way he chose. Any way he chose. He's God, he's the Savior. So he could say to the thief on the cross, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. But keep in mind that saving the person that way, neither according to the Old nor according to the New Testament, that was exception. That was exception. No angel, no human being was ever permitted by God to go and preach exception. We are to preach the rule, not the exception to the rule. The rule here was either the person's sins are dealt with by the Old Testament system or by the gospel. This one was on its way out. The gospel was not initiated yet. So watch here now. Let us turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 9. And I think Hebrews chapter 9, I was about to say verse 22. But let me find it, that I don't mislead you.
From verse 13.
Yes, from verse... Well, let's read from verse 16.
For where a testament is...
What is a testament? It's important that everybody get this. A testament is a will. For where a testament is,
there must also of necessity be the death of the testator.
Read on.
For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth.
Wait. You know, this is a wonderful passage. Because it is telling us that Jesus' will could not come in force until when? After Jesus died. That's what this is telling us. That when people... Christ has a will that he gave to whom? The apostle. Huh? But that was of no use while Jesus Christ was... alive. And this is why he could dispense his grace any way he wanted. A testament is a force when?
After men are dead.
Read on.
Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth.
So what this passage is teaching, Jesus' New Testament will to save men. The plan of salvation that includes hearing, believing, repenting, confessing Christ and getting baptized, that could not have been preached to the thief on the cross. Why? It was of no use then. Christ was still alive. The New Testament will. The gospel, God's plan of salvation that you and I know today. Step one, being taught. Step two, believing our faith. Step three, repenting of our sins. Step four, confessing Christ. Step five, getting baptized for the removal of our sins. That is God's plan of salvation according to the gospel. That's the rule. But that could not be preached to the man until after Jesus Christ's death. The best way God could show mercy is the way he did it on the cross. And that was the exception, because the man was neither forgiven according to the Old Testament system nor according to the New Testament system. May I? Because Jesus Christ's will is now in force, every man and every woman will have to be taught the will of God and obey. Amen. And this is why Jesus Christ sent them out